Good evening. My name is Pastor Ken Wagner, and I am an associate minister, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Pastor Patricia and her husband are out on a little hiatus tonight, having a good time. They well-deserved rest. So tonight, as a refresher, we've been going through a lot of information on here, and I want to begin to go ahead and review back to chapter 4, and if you're following in the books, that's going to begin on page 59. But we've been covering a lot of territory, and I kind of want to go over some of the things that we have covered. So when we begin what we want to cover tonight, we'll be prepared and understand what we're doing, what we're going through. So I'm going to be reading from these and beginning at chapter 4. And that's the discerning the spirits and preparation for deliverance. So as we learned in the previous chapters, the word bondage, when translated from the Greek, means a controlling entity or force outside of yourself. When a person is in bondage to something, that thing becomes a false god. Let me expound on this by saying that when a person is in bondage to a devil, that devil is a controlling force within the person and has established itself as a false and controlling god over him or her. That person becomes its slave. He will be obliged to pay homage to the controlling entity until the false god is overthrown. Therefore, your personal will is overpowered and under the control of a demonic enslavement. This demonic presence is making decisions and causing you to act as it wills. This will continue until the trespasser is cast out. So that's why we need deliverance. Sometimes when these devils can get entrenched, we have some problems and we have to have deliverance to get rid of them. Going on to page 60, about the middle of the page. So before we begin, let us be sure of the foundation in our hearts. You must belong to Jesus without compromise and without reservations. That's the key. It really is on here. You must believe in the power of God as given by the Holy Spirit. Now, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the authority granted to you in the name of Jesus, you are a vessel ready to be used by your Father. So knowing Jesus and knowing him is key to all of this. On page 61, in preparation for deliverance, bring yourself and the person needing deliverance into agreement with God by evoking the name of Jesus over the proceedings. Ask for his guidance and protection, knowing that the demonic spirits are all liars and boasters, full of pride and threats. Be always watchful and discerning, lest at any time they attempt to deceive you. And they will, if they can, because they like where they are and they don't want to come out. Encourage the person to be honest about all aspects of his sin life and about generational sin. You should first lead the person to repent from his sin and search his heart for unforgiveness towards God or anyone who has offended him. By listening to the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern if the person has truly repented and has decided to forgive and be liberated from the entrapment of sin. And we do this because the enemy will try and use it against us during the sessions. So that's important for forgiveness. Let's go on a little bit further on page 63. You may ask, if all we need to do is ask for forgiveness, why would anyone need deliverance from devils? Would not the devils flee in the presence of repentance? The answer is that although it is true that the forgiveness from sin brings supernatural relief and peace to the believer, the person must take action and repent, complete turning away, if he would stay in that state of holiness. Although the desire may be there, this is not always an easy task. Therefore, deliverance from evil spirits is sometimes a necessary action and should be seriously considered and gratefully welcome. So now we know why we do deliverance as well on here. Page 64. The person needing deliverance must have faith that he can be delivered, and he must have confidence in the deliverance minister. I have learned that those most willing to be delivered have had the greatest success in being set free. The individuals who were willing to put down their pride and their carnal concepts are able to loose the lesser devils from their hiding places and allow the ruling spirits to be revealed. This made it possible to demand the departure of the devils by invoking the name of Jesus, and it made it impossible for them to remain. So, interesting concepts. Again, these are all things we need to remember when we're going through deliverance on here. On page 66, friends, do not be surprised if the person coming for deliverance has the strange compulsion to turn from your door and flee. Boy, have I seen that one. The evil spirits are very aware of what is going to take place and that they are about to lose their self-proclaimed home. Remember that demonic spirits will know if you are real or just trying to build up a ministry and a reputation without a clean heart before God. When the Holy Spirit is within you, the devils know that they are coming before the presence of God, not you. They recognize the Holy Spirit within you. On page 67, number 2, the blood of Jesus should be pleaded. This means to appeal or entreat earnestly over the ministers, the person receiving the deliverance, and all others present. This is so key in so many areas that we need to have that covering before we begin, because the enemies will always try retribution against you and your family and others. So that's why we pray before we begin. That's why we invoke the name of Jesus and the covering of his blood as well. And number 3, encourage the person to make a legal proclamation by his mouth that he wants to be set free. Number 4, ask the person to search his heart and see if there is anyone he has not forgiven, for in all cases there is need for forgiveness in past relationships and generally in present relationships as well. Now we're going to jump over a few pages on this one. Over to page 72. The person must renounce all things that are evil in which he has knowingly allowed himself to be involved. Renunciation is an important part of deliverance. Renunciation means to make a clean break from Satan's work within you. And number 6, after the person being delivered has renounced all sin, it is important to command the devils and that person to unlink themselves by the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. We covered a lot on that. And those are all things that have been talked about for months here in the ministry. And it's good to begin to realize the steps that we have gone through and the things that we do go through each time in deliverance. And how all those parts are integral so that we can come about the very aim and the goal that we were trying to go ahead and do. So tonight we're going to continue that a little bit more on here. And we're going to get on to into our roundtable discussion on here. And we're going to begin in page 72, just after that number 6, and beginning with indwelling devils. And George, we're going to give you the honors, sir.
Indwelling devils are seldom found alone. They are always in groups. When one devil is discerned, you should immediately look for its companion or lesser devils. A group of devils is seemingly band together for the purpose of controlling a particular area of the person's life. Amen.
You want to comment on that, George?
More than one devil at one time. Well, I know the devil has a lot of cohorts in his. And
Why don't we take a look at page 56 and 57? That could help a lot of us on here. That's the ones, if you remember, that's the list of the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the unholy spirit on here. And as an example of what George just read, one of the things that we have on here, the gift of the Holy Spirit is self-control, whereas the gift of the unholy spirit, literally Satan, is rebellion. And underneath rebellion, we have lust, filth, greed, gluttony, drugs, alcohol. These are all sub-demons, if you want to call it that. Okay? So that's going to come into play as we go on and read this a little bit more. But you can see in that whole pages on there, there's all different kinds of ones that we have. Hate, mourning, strife, impatience, brutality, evil, doubt, roughness, rebellion. And they all have sub-demons below that try and protect the controlling spirit. And that's our job, is to begin to go ahead and see where the real issue is and be dependent upon the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit to take care of any of those issues, any of those problems, and which direction to go.
You notice that here it talks about the unholy spirits, where what I read was talking about the devil and his cohorts.
Right.
They're one and the same.
Right.
But some people, you know, the spirits, the unholy spirits, we think of, I think of them in a different light, just like some of the things that are sin that aren't, normally you don't think of sin, like anger and some of these emotional things that we think are emotional, but they are sins. And just like the spirits, the unholy spirits, fruits of the unholy spirit, you know, that's very interesting.
Michael?
I'd like to, I just realized something that in that paragraph that Sir George just read, you know, they are always in groups. And when I thought about that, they're always in groups, I thought about gangs, you know, street gangs. Right. You know, always the ones has a leader, right?
Right.
And then all the other little lesser ones follow that leader. And they look to him. And so when that leader gives orders, they go do what the bigger demon does or the leader does. And then I portray that, you take that a little bit further, you think about your will, your flesh, you, the big I is the leader. And then you're controlling all these lesser desires and affections and things like that. And they follow you because you're ordering them where to go. And their occupation, their hangout is the soul realm. So, you know, I found that really interesting. I just had an epiphany. I had to share that.
You mentioned that one. I can't help it. I was watching a Western movie the other day on there. And one of the Indians were attacking a wagon train. And the chief got killed while he was doing it. And the Indians stopped. And they all went back and said, that's bad medicine. He was a bad leader. We were dying and he died. So therefore, we've got to go back and reconvene again and go appoint a new leader. And it's interesting because it ties right into what you were just talking about as well. So praise the Lord. Okay. Anybody else on that one? More comments. Susan, what do you got? You got something on here? Nobody else wants to talk about that, huh? Okay. Go ahead. All right. Peg, you want to read the next paragraph then?
In these groupings, there will be a strong man or a ruling spirit. The Holy Spirit will alert you and direct you as to when and how to drive out the ruling spirit. In our experiences, sometimes the Holy Spirit has revealed the ruling spirit first. Other times, he's revealed and directed us to drive out the lesser spirits first. You must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and always leave the deliverance procedure to him. You must listen and watch carefully, using discernment as your guide. Keep yourself as a vessel under the command of the Holy Spirit. Through experience, I am convinced that the ruling spirit enters a person first, making way for the lesser spirits to come in.
Comments, Peg?
Per- personally, in addition to what I said there, sometimes, as directed by the Holy Spirit, you may be dealing with the ruling spirit first, but very frequently, at least in my experience, he's had us at least bind the lesser spirits while you're doing that so that they're not adding power to that ruling spirit. And so, again, very important that you just be directed by the Holy Spirit. He'll just lead you. And part of that, I think it's so important because sometimes we just listen to people and our flesh may want to just, okay, I think it's this, I think it's that. Be directed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the very depth. He knows the really ruling spirit.
Okay, that's good. Because the question I'm going to, oh, go ahead, George.
Well, I was thinking that sometimes that ruling spirit, the controlling spirit, is, well, he's real sly. I mean, he won't expose himself. He'll let the lesser spirit do a little mind control or over somebody that you're delivering, and he won't show himself. I think of, you mentioned back here, you know, pride is one of the big ones that we've, and it's awful hard, at least it is with me, to notice in a lot of people that are in deliverance to try to connect pride with some of these lesser things, lesser spirits. So I think a lot of times he lays low and doesn't want to be exposed.
Okay. Anyone else want to comment on that? Then I will make another comment on here. Did you ever go out to chop down a big tree? Okay, well, that's good. That's good, because I like trees, too. But around that tree many times, there's a lot of garbage, a lot of small brush and trees and things of that nature, and you can't get to the big tree. So why not go after the smaller stuff first and clear the way out, and then we have full aim at the big tree? Comments on that? Thoughts?
Well, it'd just be like you're clearing all the underbrush out. It's like you're getting rid of all the lesser spirits. Is you're cleaning out all the lesser spirits, and then you're getting to the big tree or to the heavy spirits that are controlling the person's mind and soul.
Okay, Tyler, that's true. Peggy, what you said is true. So that's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit with us, to find out which way to go, what we're going to go ahead and do. Could be a combination of any of those things. But we don't really know, but the Holy Spirit does know. So we need to go by what he has to say. So that's why we need to be prayed up ahead of time before we get into these situations. Michael?
Yes, I'd like to comment on in that one sentence is, in our experiences. And I think most of us, some of us, have had, in the deliverance ministry, the experience like Pastor Ken and Pastor Peg have. You know, they've been in the deliverance ministry, and Pastor Vincent and Pastor Patricia. But some of us have been in our own personal deliverance ministry where we're watching, where it says down there in that paragraph, you must listen and watch carefully. And I think that's a guideline for us who are in our personal deliverance, you know, with the Lord, that we have to listen and watch what we're saying, what we're hearing. What comes out of our mouths, what goes into our heart. And so we're really, part of our deliverance ministry is working out our salvation. And that's, I think, is a deliverance ministry unto the Lord. And so when we do that, then the experience that you have of making accurate discernments, that you could sit down with others and have an effectual deliverance ministry. And the experience is what you really want to have, because, you know, you hear people today that could talk about deliverance, but those that have been through it and those that have done it, those are the experienced people. People want to hear the experiences, the testimonies. You know, somebody going in here by just reading a book and yet having not the personal deliverance, I don't think you can just do it by a book, you know, in per se. It's a nice guideline, but you got to have personal deliverance And knowing for a fact that you have a strong testimony, he says, I've been delivered from this. I know when I got my hands laid on me through deliverance ministry, I saw the effectual working of the power of God. Didn't know what it was at the beginning, but the effect of it, I walked out of there a changed man. So that kind of just compels you to want to seek more of the truth. And I think the really nugget here is, Pastor Ken, is that you're getting at is that we really have to know our deliverance ministry, you know what we're doing here and what we're discovering. And I thank God for these nights that we come together like this and we're getting understanding and, you know, we're not alone and all of us has been delivered from different parts of this corrupted world in our minds and hearts.
That's a good point, Michael. If I can sum that up, maybe you're saying that we need to know ourselves,
yeah,
inside and out, right, which brings up a question. Can we self-deliver ourselves? Go ahead.
Yes, you can. It's because you have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit, you have, you know, an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, I think you can. If you have a strong man and you can't seem to get rid of it, then you got the body of Christ. You got the deliverance ministries. You got those that have the greater light to do that, and that's seeking the truth for deliverance. So you're covered all the way around.
Amen.
You know, but are you a solamente person as regards to you're the only one that can give deliverance and receive? No. This is a body effort. This is a group effort. This is a body of believers, a ministry that has been designated by Father God, a group of overcomers. And I can go on and on, Pastor Ken. But to answer your question, yes, you can, because you got the Word of God. You know, and the thing part of the deliverance ministry, I think, is, first of all, is that we can go and confess our sins. And that's the greatest open door to the deliverance ministry, is confessing our sins and our shortcomings to the Father. We have, you know, through Jesus Christ. And yet, like I said, if we have a recurring event, then we need to reach out and say, look, you know, I've got a situation here. I really need some help. You know, so we're not alone.
Amen. And go ahead, Peg.
Just an example many years ago that the Lord spoke to me on that area of total deliverance with somebody else or yourself. He reminded me our heart is a garden. It's soil. And words, or we know the words are seeds and they get planted in. But when it comes to deliverance, he showed me either, if say like you have all these weeds in a beautiful lawn, you can either have somebody come in and really pull out that weed and go right down to that root. But there's another way. If you pour wonderful good seed on a lawn, the weed will be destroyed. So we're talking about putting the Word of God will bring a self-deliverance if we allow it to really get into our heart. And part of what we say, if we know ourselves and we see from the Word of God what has been controlling us, what, you know, whatever the case may be, and we can absolutely, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, have self-deliverance.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry, George.
Uh-huh.
You know, this sentence here, you must listen and watch carefully. You must listen. How often do we don't want to listen to what the person says? You don't want to spend the time listening to. We have a tendency to cut them off, so to speak, and that's one of the, I mean, you know, that's rather important, and carefully using discernment as your guide.
Amen.
You know, I've seen cases, I've seen an example where the individual sitting in a group of Christians, and we weren't in a deliverance thing, but a person thought he had some discernment and came right out in front of the group of three or four of us that were sitting there, that this person had a particular demon or a particular spirit in her. And I don't feel that was, he didn't listen, and he didn't have that discernment at the time, which some of us sometimes have the tendency not to listen and discern and take time at it. And that's a real, you know, because I've seen it happen that in the long run that he didn't listen. He wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit either at the time, and he got himself in lots of trouble.
George, where you got the mic? Where do you get discernment?
Well, you get the discernment from the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And you also get it from knowing the Word. Knowing the Word is a very important part of that. Between the Word and the Holy Spirit, you'll get that discernment. And also from sitting at this round table. Sitting at this round table over the period of times and in the deliverances, you get that. Because it doesn't come real quickly. Some people, as soon as you walk into their home, some of them have discernment right away about things, but then they let them know and not. But that's the kind of thing that we do sometimes. I've noticed it an awful lot in relationship to people that come out and do work at the Ark. And there are certain people that have discernment about that, and they will express it.
Michael?
You know, when scripture comes to mind, Sir George, is that one in James, Pastor Ken, is be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And how many times, you know, that through the years, the development of listening is very vital. Being able to listen and not, you know, right away in conversations, if you're one to have that has pride, you're going to want to defend yourself. And what happens in our conversations, I have found over the years, that this is personal testimony, is that the mind will go up in an uproar, saying already what it wants to say, with not even hearing what the other person has to say from the beginning to the end. And you're already, listing up the things you're ready to launch out for not hearing the right, you know, all the way what the other person's saying. And the end results, most of the times, George, is like you said, you end up with your foot in your mouth.
Why are you talking about me like that for?
Oh, no. You end up with your foot in your mouth going, ah, blah, blah, you know. And pretty much that's a time for discovery, saying, wow, wait a minute here, you know. And that's the time where you really said, you know, I could have done better. And then you can go to the one and say, I could have done better. You know, this could have been a better situation, for better understanding. But it's the time that, you know, that the mind is being renewed. And, you know, that's what I see what's happening here. You know, we get understanding that listening, on my part, is huge. You know, because either the conversation excites me or it does the other. You know, and I just... You know, if you see my eyes drifting, then you know you need to reel me back in and say, where'd you go? You know, I says, oh, okay. But, it helps me. And and I understand that it's really good, because that's one of the things that really is a attribute in marriages, you know, being able to listen to one another. And that's what I glean off and I watch. I say, how well did they listen to one another? You know, and that takes a development. It takes a dying to self. It takes all that. And that is the goal of the marriage, is that the two becoming one. And there's nothing beautiful than when you see that in operation. You know, I have to say something. I watch Susan and Daryl for a lot now, you know, riding with them. And Susan is a storyteller. She's going from start to finish. And Daryl, he'll be just nodding his head without saying a word, and then when he has something to say, he'll say it, and then he'll just listen and drive. And I go, this is fantastic, you know? Yeah, or check. I don't think he checks out. I think he's really listening. You know, he really is, because a lot of times I confess, you're going, and you lost me halfway through, and I'm looking out the window at the cows going like this. And I'm not taking away from the moment here, Pastor Ken. I don't want to, but I just watch those things, because it's a learning lesson for me to be a good listener, you know? And I know that in that department, what it said here is that I'm, you know, adapting myself to be a really good listener. And it's helped me, because to become into a place of more peace, Because that time when you're in pride and you want to defend yourself and you want to, you close your mind up and it's not good. You're not open to receive and listen and to understand. And so what's happening, I miss out on the discernment of what the other person is really saying. You know, it's behind the words is what I should be discerning. This is what it is. It's like, wow, this person's really launching at me, but yet deep down this person's hurting. So I got to put on compassion. I got to put on mercy, which will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So I'm learning about this, and it's a beautiful thing.
I think you hit a lot of people already on that one tonight. Quite a few on there. Randolph?
I was actually listening to what George was talking about and what you was actually talking about, and I may get a little something with Michael here. And it was something that I said to Pastor Vincent some time ago about a personal issue that I had going on with my life. And it's actually in Galatians chapter 4. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we are children, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, I could keep going on with that. And for me, individuals who don't listen to other people to be able to find out what the situation is, what the problem is, what the misunderstanding is, there's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of chaos to go along with it, too.
Well, your point's well taken on there.
Personally, where are you? Okay, are you still a child thinking about, oh, you owe me this, or you done that to me, or you did this to me? Or are you a servant of God listening to be able to understand, be able to find out what that other individual needs instead of going, I, like in Isaiah, you know?
Well, you know, when you're talking about this, it brings up a point on in my thinking. Something else I wanted to add to this is faith.
Yeah.
Where does your faith come in to this one? Because if you don't have faith in the Word, you're never going to succeed in anything for God. And it's the same thing in deliverance. If you can't believe that you have that authority and power through your Holy Spirit, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. But I'm not going to let you back on, Michael. You mentioned too many things. You nailed me to a wall on a couple of them already, too. So, but that's good. George?
You know, when you listen in a deliverance ministry, and if you can tell right away if you start listening and the individual starts defending himself right away. And you can tell right away then, but you just keep listening. But they will so often try to defend how they're feeling about something when somebody said something about them or any instance like, and when something coming out of the mouth of somebody and that make belittle, you feel that you're being belittled, you got to keep listening. But you know when that individual is really trying to defend himself that he's got some problems in relationship to pride.
Sure. You got it. You got it. I think that's why God gave us two ears and only one mouth. I think he was trying to tell us something right there. So, Romeo, did I see your hand up before? Were you going to try and say something? Okay. All right. Just checking up, making sure over there. Didn't want to leave you out of this.
Out of your mouth, it comes from your heart. Out of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. That's why if you listen to people, you're going to know what's in their heart. It just comes out.
Yeah. Anybody else on that? Go ahead, Mary.
There's a verse in Jeremiah that says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And on the issue of self-deception, there can be a question whether it's a good idea or not. the heart can minister to the mind. You could be thinking something so completely right and so forth, you know, and not have the understanding of your heart. But in the counsel of others, say in deliverance, you can gain the discernment of what's going on. Because sometimes if you've ever recognized, did you ever argue with God? Man, that's not me, you know, that can't be right, you know. And that's easier to happen in the case of self-deception, although there are times that the Lord can really directly speak to you and say, look, get rid of this thing, and you can.
You bring up a good point, Mary, and I'm also thinking of James, where in the book of James, when he talked about it, he says how the tongue can set great forest fires ablaze by what we say. And again, coming back down to the faith and believing, are we speaking what the Word says and believing what the Word says? Or are we just spouting off and believing what we think and what we feel? That's the area we get into trouble with. That's what I think I can see you bringing up on that point as well. So, now, well taken. Who's next? Sue?
In chapter 3, we learned that all the ruling and lesser spirits have names. When devils are being driven out, you must command the ruling spirit by name to come out and take with it its lesser spirits.
Now, that's going to bring up some interesting topics on here. How many times have you heard, don't speak to demons, don't talk to them, you can't believe them, they're all liars anyway? Well, how do you find out who they are? Questions, answers, comments? What do you guys think?
Well, I was thinking, you know, these major spirits, the Leviathan spirit is a big major spirit.
Right.
And you've got to, it's really a difficult one to, but it, and even in relationship to prayer, and that you shouldn't be in generalities. There's words, I don't know where it is, but it talks about that you get specific. And like it's saying here, well, you should specifically talk to the Spirit or the cohort of the Spirit, or and identify it. And if you use generalities about things, why, that spirit is not going to do much but laugh at you, I feel, and when you're in a deliverance with somebody.
Jesus spoke directly to the spirits. He called them out by name, told them where to go.
Where did he do that, Peg? Do you remember?
Well, just about any and every time we talked about it, about the legion, and when he cast them into the pigs, when he spoke to the young man who was being thrown, you know, he spoke.
And why was he asking that question? Why was he talking to him?
Because he was taking authority over them.
He needed to know.
He needed to call them out.
That's what I'm getting at. And he needed to know the name or names of those spirits, as George was just saying, so we can directly confront them and call them out by name. Amen. Right. Sue?
So since you two have done deliverance, how do you know who the ruling spirit is if, number one, you know they lie? They could say X and then they're really Y, and you'd be working from a different position on X rather than Y. So, if you're, I mean, do they actually say, okay, I'm the spirit of arrogance?
In my experience, yeah. Okay. I found that out to be very true. Because what you're doing, you are having them under the power of the Holy Spirit.
So they have to tell you who they are?
Yes.
Is that the rule?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In those situations.
I agree with you. I think you hear, like we talked about earlier, the words that come out of the mouth. You know, use for example, you're in a conversation and the person goes, I hate that thing. Well, it used the word hate. So it automatically revealed what it was feeling or what's driving that emotion, whatever, you know, cause for that. And I think the question you're asking, how can you find out if the ruling spirit, I think when we're exemplifying the fruits of the spirit. And, you know, I look at the book here, and that's a little bit of a head start, but it's like if you see a person that is not operating in peace, then it's strife, okay? And so the more we are in constant relationship or interacting, you could really start seeing things develop. But when you're in that, you know, short-term relationship of, you know, coming on a Wednesday, just on a Thursday or a Sunday, you know, that kind of discernment, you really won't see them because the demons are kind of hiding because they know they have to put on their best behavior. But it's all those off days is when you find them, you know, find them in their operation, you know, unless the Holy Spirit just, like the fire of God, just brings the things to the surface like it does sometimes in meetings. So
on one of the... I think it might have been David Jeremiah. He mentioned that people say, well, so-and-so makes me angry or so-and-so makes me crazy. And he says, no, that isn't true. What it does is it brings out what you are inside.
Right.
So they can't make you X, but you display it because you let it out. And that's what Michael's saying. That's probably one way, too. You just observe people's behavior with other people. And you would have a sort of a clue. But I mean, I was talking more of someone just out of the blue says, come and do a deliverance. You know what I mean? You don't have an experience with that person or anything like that. So you don't have a relationship.
Part of what happens in that deliverance is that you are speaking for in the name of Jesus Christ, under his power, under his authority.
Okay.
And when you're asking a demon that you're commanding them to come forth with their name in the name of Jesus, and okay. His power and authority, they're going to listen.
Okay.
And they're going to respond. Now, now that I said that, I'm going to give you an example of one that didn't.
Didn't happen.
And Peg and I were doing this one time on a woman. And the deliverance was going along very nicely. And all of a sudden, it came to a screeching halt. And we couldn't discern, the demons refused to speak, and both of us just said, all right, let's put a hold on this and get into prayer. We got into prayer and started praying and praying, and finally the Lord he spoke to me, and he said, I just heard the word Eastern religions, and then I said, oh, that's like karate and judo and all that other stuff, you know, like that, and I'm looking at this mild, meek woman, you know, on here, and so I asked Peg if she got anything. She says, no, I didn't have it. But she says, Lord tells you that, you know better, go for it. So I said, well, I just started the deliverance again, and I looked at the woman, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of Eastern religions, come out of her right now. Well, the screech almost blew my eardrums out. Okay, and she come up out of the seat, and started screaming, yelling, ranting, and raving, and everything else. And I said, wow, that was there all right. And then we went on with the rest of the deliverance. They carried her out that night. She was so exhausted from all the demonic spirits that were there, they carried her out because she couldn't even walk. And she came back the next day, and it was a beautiful thing. She came up to us at the meeting and the next night, and she says, you guys ruined my life. And I said, wait, what? She said, you ruined my life. She said, you don't realize who I am and what I am.
I'm a lawyer in University of Chicago on here. I'm the head of the Afro League. I'm the head of this, and I'm the head of that, and I hate whites. You know, and she went on and on. She says, and now I look at a person, and all I can feel is love for them. Yeah, just like that. And we started laughing about the whole thing. But that's what God will do, even though the spirits didn't want to talk. The Holy Spirit enlightened us. And then we went after it, and it worked. Worked beautifully. So you have to really, again, we're back to the same thing again. You have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to believe and stand in faith that he's speaking to you and will direct you and guide you and lead you for these people and for these deliverances to go on. Amen?
Amen.
George, you got something else?
I was thinking about a religious spirit that I've seen.
Yeah, they're the nastiest ones.
And one of them is anybody that's been, well, I found it true in Mexico when I was down there in mission trips and that, and in Trinidad, that a religious spirit, a Catholic religious spirit, I hate to say it, but it was so true with some that they were bound. I mean, when you're talking about Jesus and the cross and things, they actually, in a couple of the villages that we were in working in, the Catholics were so against Jesus that they would come and destroy property or the little place that they were meeting, or put graffiti all over where they had a mural on the outside wall of where they met about Jesus. And, you know, that's a very hard one in relationship to come right out. And there can be with some of the others, but a religious spirit can get a hold of you, and you don't think that there's nothing wrong with it, but it will take you down the wrong path.
Comment? You want to make a comment? Or, well, I'm going to bring up one then on here as well, is that sometimes we're the best examples ourselves talking about those religious spirits, because I was born and raised Catholic all the way through as well. And this couple ended up doing, I was the deliverer one night in a deliverance session, and it was on some Catholic dogma and theology. And they ended up delivering me from that one, the Holy Spirit did, the power, under the power of God that way. And it was a very, very strong deliverance that went on. And afterwards, I said to them, I said, why didn't you guys tell me about this before? And I said, and they started laughing. They said, we've been telling you this for a year, and you could never see it, because my mind was seared with that spirit. And it was trying to take control and keep control over it. When it finally came out, I said, you're kidding me. And they said, no, we've been telling you for a year about this. And here, now it came out, and it was totally obvious to me, but I never saw it before. And that's where the deliverance is so powerful, and those religious spirits will try and keep you in that bondage. There's no two ways about it. Why do you think we've got so many religious faiths out there? Because we can't come together in unity, because we're all separated. Well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic. Well, what good does that do? That's disunity. We don't have authority and power because we are not in unity together. And yet, if you look at most of the Christian religions, we'll agree about 95% on the truths, the basic truths. We'll agree to that. But yet, it's that other 5%. That Satan in his wisdom will deceive all the people so that they don't come together. I can't talk to you. You're a Catholic. I can't do that. You know, put a Baptist and a Catholic together. Four-letter words could fly. You know, I've seen that many a time. So, I mean, how could we come together in unity? And it's a great, it was the most inspiring way that I can think Satan could ever split up the people from ever coming together.
is through religion, through religious spirits. Yet if we put that aside and want to come together in unity, we've got so much together in that Bible that we all believe the same way. Comments? Anybody? Carmen, you're on.
There is a tendency among Christians to look for pat formulas. Let me assure you that you have best remained totally dependent on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because in all the years of working in the ministry of deliverance, my husband and I have still been surprised at the cleverness of Satan and his host. Therefore, rely upon the Holy Spirit. Follow his leading. If you do not do this and something goes wrong, fear could enter in. Bear in mind that fear has no place in the serious work of deliverance. I have witnessed many different methods of deliverance and believe we are safer staying as close as possible to the methods. How do you say this?
Mm-hmm.
Methods used by Jesus and his disciples. They have always been my example. Be careful to never get yourself into bondage through the rules and reasons that you formulate. If we see success from using a certain technique as instructed by the Holy Spirit, we are prone to conclude that it was the technique that did the deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Comments?
What is right? It is better to be led by the Holy Spirit because it's not formula. You know, step one, two, three. Everybody's different. Different spirits and different people is like Pastor Patricia wrote here. It is better to be by the example of Jesus and his disciples. They were very simple.
Amen. Michael?
Well, I just wanted to share scripture right here that Josh was pointing out, and it's just perfect on what Carmen just read, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it says on Luke chapter 12, if you go to verse 9, it says, verse 11, now when they bring you to the synagogues and majesties, authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer to or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you with the very hour what you should say.
Amen. Amen. Before you get on there, Michael, just want to throw out another question on here. You think Satan is wise in his own way? Do you think he could outwit us? Just by without having the Holy Spirit or anything else involved, if you are wisdom and his wisdom, who do you think is going to win? Yeah, and it's really, I mean, if we just did that, it would be Satan, because he's been around here for many, many, many years, and he was wise as can be, and he'll try everything to deceive us just that very way. Michael?
To answer your question, Pastor Ken, I think he is getting more subtle and craftier, because through the church age, you're going, oh, they found me there. They discovered me through this way. Now I'm going to go another way. Oh, they found me found my deception this way. So pretty much he's watching the techniques and the ways of the Christian believers, saying, okay, they found me out. Now how can I find another way where they won't find me for a time, you know, until, like it says in the scripture, in this paragraph, it's the leading by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when I love this, because when this was being read, it says that there is no pat formulas. And I take it to this, how easy it is for anybody to go on Google and get information and not have the experience whatsoever about any subject and go and try out there to do it just by head knowledge. It's not going to work. You know, I call it being taught by Professor Google. The best person, I think, can have is the experience, as it was discussed in the previous paragraph, Pastor Ken, is that to have the experience. You know, show me somebody that has experience, and I'll show you somebody that knows the way.
I'll tell you that. Somebody, you could tell somebody that just could go read many, many books and not really do it. It's almost the relationship that I saw that Jesus pointed out in the Bible. He says, do as they say, but don't do as they do. And that was the Pharisees. And the sons of Sceva. I mean, they were trying to fake the situation, you know. And everybody today is looking for a genuine person. People are looking for who they can trust, who's not a fake, who's not going to pack it up and leave. You know, the people say this is too difficult. Those, you know, ones are not seasoned. I think there's a reality here that we have to rely on, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that personal experience that we're getting right now and that Holy Spirit relationship, once we know that we've been delivered, oh, we're going to take it a step further. You know, we're going to step out of the boat. You know, we're going to do it because we have power and authority to do so. And when the other who's involved gets the true deliverance, they're going to go, man, that's it. I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't gone through a true deliverance. If there isn't, you haven't gone through a true deliverance? My gosh. Tell you what.
It's coming.
It's coming. I'll tell you what. Romeo, it is, and I'm surprised that it hasn't happened, but maybe because you guys are saying, hey, you know what, you know, I know when I held back, and I know if I'm going the right direction with this, but I know when I held back, because I was concerned, is my head going to spin around? Am I going to spit green vomit? But no, when I came up there, it was the most beautiful thing. The Spirit of God will bring you into a place of peace, but you start discovering things, and you walk out of there. Let me say the highlight of this whole thing I'm just saying real quick. You walk out of there changed, a peace like that is no other. You just are skipping and jumping, and especially for you two. I mean, you're going to look at each other like two parakeets in love and go, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know.
Now, I want to bring up a question. Let me bring up a question when Michael... Okay, guys, calm down. Let me bring up a question on something Michael just talked about. He talked about knowledge, okay, and experience, okay? Can we be led astray by our knowledge and experience?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So it's good to have knowledge and experience, but before we start to go with that and run with that, we need to seek out the Holy Spirit and ask Him if this is the way we're supposed to go. So knowledge and experience is good. There's no two ways about it. We don't fall into the same traps that we were, that Satan tried to lay for us before. But we better make sure that we talk to the Holy Spirit and find out, are we doing it the right way and doing the right thing? George?
I would say, you mentioned traps. Satan has, or the devil has. What in Matthew 4, after Jesus being baptized and the Holy Ghost and baptized water and that, what did the next thing happen? Jesus is tempted by the devil. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? You know, and three times, three different things, places that the devil led Jesus to. One was tempter when he was up to Jerusalem, but what did Jesus do? He answered the devil each time. All three times that he, the temple and worldly things, and said that he could fall, that he would over the whole world. I mean, all these three things that the devil tempted Jesus with before. Now, this was preparing Jesus, and Jesus spoke out before Jesus started his ministry, really. You stop and think about it.
What did he say?
Well, like first, when it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus, it is written again, that shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Amen.
Amen.
There's our guide.
And that's what happens. That's what happens when you go into a deliverance ministry.
There's our guide.
Too, that, you know, the devils will leave, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto you.
Mary?
I don't think you can fully knock the knowledge. You know, have any of you read one of the standard sort of things, Pigs in the Parlor? Okay. When you realize, okay, so somebody comes to you and you recognize a schizophrenia, are you going to cast out a spirit of schizophrenia? If you've read that book and recognize how complex that is, and my concern is that you just don't walk in cold to a situation. First of all, you want to know something about the person. You want to have some idea of how some things have worked in their lives. And also, there are things that are called thesauruses. Thesauruses in deliverance would be how spirits group or how they go together. So... I don't think anybody can walk cold into this and just say, this is the way I'm going to operate. There's got to be an anointing. There has to be some understanding of what you might encounter. The Lord has to pray. Our Lord has to give this to you. You have to pray through some kinds of things. And I think there's a complexity that you don't want to skip. Obviously, if you're working with somebody and they're manifesting, the Lord will certainly give you the wisdom what to do. But some people you've got to work with over a period of time in a loving compassion to be delivered. And it's just not, you don't always walk into Walmart and say, hey, yeah, I'm looking for somebody, you know? Because authority, power and authority belong to God. He gives measures of authority in this ministry. Not everybody can do the ministry in certain measures. Jesus cast out all those 1,000 demons because the Father gave him power to do that. Could somebody else have done that with all those demons? I mean, you'd be looking down and say, is this one, that one, that one?
Mary,
you'd
never
get to 1,000. You would never get to 1,000. So he had that authority to do it. Mm-hmm. So there is a, pardon me? Yeah, okay.
Amen. Anyone? Yeah. Okay. I was not done with you. I think that was fantastic. May I say something about
Go
that?
Ahead.
You know, while you were talking, Mary, I just thought that this whole program we're talking about is about faith. And then the scripture that came up that Jesus said, greater works that you'll do than the things that I'm doing right here. And that's a great expectation. And I think there's great wisdom in what you're saying about, you know, going in there and not being cold about it and not knowing someone for the longest time is true. Because look at the pastoral ministry. You're dealing with people for 10, 15, 20, 30 years sometimes before the really a good operation can happen. Because that's the love and the patience of the saints, you know, and I think that's when the operations. I believe right now that there's probably 30-year-old Christians who have been in the faith that still need deliverance. You know, they've just skirted the issues. They're not, they're holding back because of the new thing that Father God is doing in the earth. It's, you know, some have held back onto their traditions and their reasonings and their thinking. And they're saying, I'm not ready to come out. But there's going to be a time when they're all going to have to come out because this tribulation is going to expose the whole enchilada. But this whole program about deliverance, I have to say this. Out of billions and billions of directions that I could have gone in, I'm so thankful that Father God at this right time looked down and I was guided by circumstances to the Holy to the deliverance ministry. And like you said, Pastor Kidd, I could have gone Catholic. I could have gone Jehovah. I could have gone Mormon. I could have gone this. I could have gone Buddha. I could have gone atheist. I could have gone anti-this. But I didn't. But here I sit. I think it's a testimony that the deliverance of Father God is awesome. This whole deliverance program, I mean, we got to be so thankful. And that what is happening to us in our lives right now.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a testimony in relationship to that whole thing, in relationship to deliverance. I was so-called a goody boy, so to speak, and churchgoer and all that, until I was made aware of some of these things sitting in on the deliverance. Of course, I had some experience with it too before. If I hadn't had seen those experiences, I don't probably, but at my age, I'm still, there's things that I was set free of in the last 3 or 4 years that had been around for 80 years in my life, you know, at 4 years old there were things, you know, that, and generational things, that, man, it made me awake a lot of generational things with my grandpas and my, particularly my grandpas, that they could see in the whole family, and they had generational things that had to be cut off. But I was not made aware of those things until my time in the 70s and the 80s.
Jesus said he came to set the captives free, did he not? And it can be, he said he takes us from glory to glory to glory, and part of that taking from glory to glory is the setting free of our soul, setting free from the demonic things so we can go to that next glory, right? That's what I have felt over the years. It, like Michael was saying, after a deliverance, there's such a lightness, such a joy, such a, oh my God. Gosh, I can't believe the captivity I've stayed in that area for, like George says, 80 years, whatever it may be. And Jesus, I can see him. He just has to be looking down and say, I came to set the captives free. So, I mean, you know, so he's given it all. We can do it. He's given authority to us in his name, by his precious blood, and to not take the advantage of what he spilt his blood for. The, you know, and so many things. He became a curse by being crucified on the tree. To not take advantage of that, we are just losing so much.
You know, I'd like to comment about Sir George's, you know, what he said, that he discovered things at 70, 80 years old, I think, that were generational curses. And I've heard through other reports that people, when they get into their up their ages, they get staunch in their ways. You know, I've heard comments from people's mouths saying, you know, I'm just staunch in my ways. I can't give them up. But yeah, but for here a man of an elder that says, hey, you know, I just found those things out, and to stay humble, I mean, what a life deliverance right there, that is still available for the freedom. And I think that the scripture that comes to mind in the Beatitudes, it says, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. And so there's a filling that could be happening, and it doesn't matter. It could happen at any age, and that's the beauty of it. You know, you're saying, oh, it's too late, I'm staunch in my ways. Well, like Pastor Peg just said, that's a demon. You know, that's a hard, you know, stronghold that can be broken. And if they just realize that, and the sad thing about it is they stay in their staunch ways, they miss out on the most glorious thing, happiness.
The scripture says that salvation is past, present, and future. And, of course, part of that salvation is deliverance. So we can certainly see a progression there.
Yeah. Amen. I'd like to bring up one point or address something that Mary brought up. And her questioning on that a little bit back on here is something that I've had to learn the hard way on here, is that my knowledge, in my experience, is not all that is needed. And I look at it this way. There was something somebody once said to me many, many years ago, and I never forgot it, and it went along these lines. He says, seek the Lord about men before seeking men about the Lord. There's a lot of wisdom in that statement. You know, what does this person need that you're talking about? Do they need a friend?
that they need deliverance? Do they need salvation? You might not know that, and you most of the time we don't. That's why we need the knowledge and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to go forth and bring forth the very things that he's asking us to go ahead and do, because he knows where that person is. We don't, because it's deep within their spirit, deep within their soul. So ask the power. Use the power of the Holy Spirit in all these situations, because we can go in 10 different directions. We don't know, but if we use the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know and we can accomplish all the things that he wants us to accomplish when we do that. So seek him first before seeking somebody or telling somebody something to go ahead and do, because he'll give the direction and guidance on how. Amen? Amen. Okay, what else we got? Mary, did that answer that question a little bit too? Or okay, good. Yeah. He's still going. We got. I'm not sure where we're at.
I was thinking about, we've been, the pastor's been talking about Psalms 51. You know, how about David, you know, and all the sin and things that he was in. And this Psalm 51, create in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Isn't that what, that's what's happening to me in,
that's right,
in relationship to deliverance and all the other things that are happening. But we want to be renewed in the right spirit and, you know, clean ourselves.
Amen. When you said that, George, it reminded me of, you know, God chose us. Renew, renovate, whatever it is. And it, just in the natural, if we're going to renovate something, you have to tear down before you build up. And that's just how God kind of showed me with deliverance. We tear down the spirits, get rid of those spirits, and then build us up in the most holy faith with his word. You know, God will restore. God will renew. God will make us more into his image. But we do have to tear down. It's a very important part. It's like, you know, I can just picture if somebody wants to, you know, they feel dirty and they just, instead of taking a bath and taking their old clothes off, they just put on new clothes. Well, that dirt is still underneath there. And I see that with the demonic underneath that under, you know, that are driving people, keeping them in bondage. You know, if you just, if you don't get rid of it and just put on a face and just put on the niceties, that yuck is still there.
Tyler?
What Peggy was saying was also we need to sweep out our hearts and get rid of all that junk that's inside of us. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit comes in. Then we got to make sure we keep it clean and close all the doors and close all the windows so they can't come back in. Because once you get it clean, they'll try to sneak back in, and they'll say, well, his mind's open a little bit up here. Let's just sneak in there. Once they get in there, they'll sneak, and they keep coming in on you. You got to keep yourself clean and make sure your spirit is in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they find ways to get back in.
I would really like that, what he just shared, because the cleaning out, you bring it, you fill it up with the Holy Spirit and the Word, and you got to, you can't just deliver it out and then think about it's not going to try to come back in. You've got to fill that space up with the Word and with Christ. Amen.
Okay. Well, it was a good night. We learned a lot of things. Just to mention two things. Before Jesus made any decisions, major decisions, he prayed. And he prayed almost all night sometimes. And that's what we need to do, is we need to pray before we ever get involved in any deliverance or any things of this nature. Second thing, that we can't rely on our own knowledge, but we need to have the knowledge and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. If we do those two things, it's going to keep us out of so many problems and so many situations. So, Father, tonight we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your words, for your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, that you bring forth and reveal the Word of God the way it should be. And it gives us strength and knowledge and wisdom and faith and courage to do all the things that we need to do when we listen to you. Holy Spirit, be with your people wherever they are, whatever level they're at. Let them ask you what is needed, what needs to be done, not only for the salvation of others, but for ourselves, even more importantly. Father, let us go forth with the faith and knowledge that you have given us, and let us become one with you, Lord God, in everything that we say and everything that we do through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Bless you all.